You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the minute can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Come on, every trash, CMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Keeping your head above water.
Yes, the Rangers kept their head above water. Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
Hey, it's Rick DiPietro. Yes, I am Rick DiPietro.
The three of you suck.
Oh, that's my very nasty co-host, Dave Rothenberg. Our amazing producers, we got the not-so-little Don.
One stinks.
Okay, that's our Jay Santillo. How about our warrior, Raymond Santiago?
You think I'm a big-time type of guy.
Well, you are big time. And, of course, as always, we have the company with us. Thank you for getting up with us this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R Boys.
And this show, DPHR Rother, presented by...
well said. Call us what you want, but don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m., right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, 1-800-919-3776.
Bob.
We have an unbelievable show planned for you today.
Here's what we do. I got it.
Relax, Dave. I took care of it. The New York Rangers down 2-0 with their season on the brink. Score 3 goals in a span of 2 minutes and 42 seconds. Give the lead right back 13 seconds later. But it's Philip Hedel on the power play with the game winner, setting up a Game 6 in Pittsburgh on Friday night with Sidney Crosby's availability up in the air. Yankees sweep the 2-game set against Toronto. Gleyber Torres with a monster afternoon. You got a 3-run home run, 5 RBI. Let's hear from Gleyber.
Oh, I got pythons.
Oh, pythons. That sounds a lot like Dave. Mets jumped out an early 3-0 lead, but Tyler McGill got bludgeoned for 8 runs in an inning and a third. We're going to hear from Brooklyn's GM, Sean Marks.
No demolition?
No, that's not it.
I want a championship!
Yes, there it is. NFL schedule release tonight. We have Smashing Pumpkins tickets. We have WWE tickets. And as always, on the Thursday at 6:45, we have an observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to any of that, I'd like to say good morning to our future Spelling Bee champion.
Zevia.
Z-E-V-I-A.
Zevia.
The very talented David Rothenberg.
Now, I'm always honest with you, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about our relationship. I thought, let's just say, argument's sake, that went 2 minutes. I thought the first minute was bland. Not bad, bland. I thought the second minute, sensational. So you left off on a high note. Very well done by you.
Not about the start, Dave. It's not like we jump out and we're down 5-on-3. What happens is we find a way and we finish strong.
Right. 5-on-3, like 20 seconds into the game, right?
It's not what you want. It's not what you want.
2-0 into the second period. You can't stop these Rangers. You can't stop these Rangers.
Now, what a game that was last night. I mean, Santiago has them. I mean, he left them for dead.
No, you know what? I'm not going to let you bludgeon Santiago here. He might have put it into text form. I think we were all thinking it. There's no way anybody of right mind, down 2-0, Garden is dead, getting outplayed. It's a disaster sitting there thinking to themselves, you know what, Rangers come back and win this game. So typically I'm very pro getting on Santiago, not in this scenario.
I think
it's unfair and I will defend him.
You're an attractive man, Santi. You're an attractive man.
He's a beautiful goatee.
He's got a lot going on. He produces Rangers, Knicks, this show. I mean, he's very well-rounded.
Very well-rounded.
No, that was an amazing game last night, man. And you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I mean, yeah, the start, and then, I mean, the Rangers having a hard time getting through the neutral zone. I mean, Pittsburgh doing exactly what they wanted to do. Get up early and then lock it down. And Crosby goes out. I think that kind of was a bit of a turning point. But that shift, I mean, the good work in the zone. Fox buries one, and that all of a sudden ignites the crowd. It ignites the team. And, I mean, this is one of the – I mean, one of the things I think we've learned about this Rangers team all season long is they are resilient, and they do. I mean, they have had a lot of come from behind wins this season. But, I mean, again, we're talking about, you know, you're facing elimination here, so this is a whole different ballgame, and they rose to the challenge. I give them tons of credit.
They sure did, and how about that kid line? I mean, a couple of guys you got to give a ton of credit to. That kid line, phenomenal.
All series long, though.
Right, right. I mean, but a guys that we've questioned all year. Right? Like, how good is Kaka? Was he really that good? And Lafreniere, you know, number one overall pick. He plays quiet at times. Not in this series. They've been very good in this series. Adam Fox is terrific. Absolutely terrific. And Ryan Lindgren, who probably shouldn't be out there. You talk about hockey and the postseason and guys that you find out afterwards how hurt they are. He shouldn't be out there. But he is gutting it out there. And, you know, I think I had kind of come to grips with they're not going to win the series, right? I mean, listen, down 2-0, getting outplayed, I started to go through the motions of, all right, let me find a soft landing spot here because this is very painful and this is very upsetting, and to have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and do a show and discuss it nonstop. Like, I was trying to put it into perspective for myself and do everything I could to kind of become as comfortable as I could with the fact that they were done, and then boom. Boom, huge comeback, 4 goals. I didn't see that coming. And listen, you're one win away in Pittsburgh from, I think, being in great shape in this series. So Friday night, let's go.
Well, even now, though, and I think, I mean, we talked about this before this game, and this would tell you a lot about the leadership inside that locker room and how they, you know, how they rose, you know, to a must-win game at home. And they played well at home. They have. I mean, different story in Pittsburgh, but... You know, having played in the playoffs before too, and you know the swings of momentum and everything else. Pittsburgh realizes that the Rangers have been a much better team, you know, on home ice. So you're right. I mean, the pressure has swung a little bit now. Even if we talk about, like, I think it's swung even now going back to Pittsburgh, realizing, hey, you know, it felt like we had this series in hand. We have a 2-goal lead, and now all of a sudden we're going home. We don't know what's going on with the best player in the series, Sidney Crosby. He may miss time. He may be out, which completely changes things. And now. The thought of going back to Madison Square Garden for a game 7, that's a scary thought because you never know what's going to happen in a game 7, especially, you know, when your team has to travel on the road.
Oh, I'll take my chances with that every day of the week. I mean, the Rangers, let's be fair. They should be up 3-2 in the series. You believe that to be true? Even you. I mean, you're a neutral observer. You think they should have won game 1. You think they got robbed of that goal.
I do.
So as bad as they were in Pittsburgh, you're of the mindset that they should right now be up 3-2. If they are down 3-1 and win games 5 and then 6 on the road and come home for a game 7, you will be beside yourself if you're a Rangers fan.
Of course you will. Of course you will. Because at that point, I mean, you'd have won 2 straight and you have all the momentum, right? You're carrying the momentum going into game 7 where you've played really well at home. I'll tell you what, though, watching that game last night, so they have the 3 goals in the 2 minutes and 42 seconds, right? And... Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden, and Igor's one of the best in the league at handling the puck. He turns the puck over, and it ends up back in your net. And I'm like, oh, no. This is not a great sign. All that work to finally put yourself up, and then instantly it's gone. They tie it up. Your power play, which has been a strength of yours all season long, comes through, and it's the second unit. It's Hedl. But then the glove save that Louis Domingue made on Chris Kreider on the 4-on-1, when you could have put the game where I was like, oh, no, this is going to be it. I'm sitting there actually in my note. Like, I marked that one down. I'm like, okay, mark that save down. Because if
that
Pittsburgh
was some
finds
save,
a way,
huh?
Dude, I mean, that was – and he made a couple big saves on them. I mean, the Rangers got a couple power plays there. 2 in the 3rd, he made a couple big saves to keep it where it was at. Until you got the goalie pulled and then Lindgren ends it. But having Lindgren back was huge. I mean,
huge.
You mentioned Fox, but having Lindgren back was huge. I'll tell you what, like, the resiliency, all those different things. But, I mean, you mentioned it earlier with the kid line. Like, win or lose this series, the fact that especially Lafreniere has played as well as he's played, like, in this, because they always say playoff hockey is different. It's more physical. You know what I mean? Like, you have to make a decision going into playoff hockey whether or not you're going to, you know, you're going to be willing to play this kind of style. And it's almost like this style suits him better. Like, he actually, he's thriving in this style of play.
Yeah, this is the best he's played all year consistently.
This is the best I've seen him play, period. This consistently. Like, that line is flying.
Flying. And Panarin, you know, been somewhat quiet. And Zibanejad, like we've talked about, been somewhat quiet. But that kid line is not. They've been wonderful.
No, they've been difference makers. They have. I mean, obviously last night, but the whole series long. Could we shut down Jake Gensel, though, maybe one game? Shut him down once?
They can't do it.
He's got seven goals.
They can't. And Pittsburgh, they get so many opportunities. Like, even though the Rangers' defense was better and they were more physical and they, you know, went toe-to-toe with Pittsburgh last night in front of their own net, the Rangers just they're just not very good defensively.
Well, that's also, I mean, that's a skilled team, though, too. I mean, Pittsburgh's a good team. So
aren't they all skilled teams now, though?
Well, yeah, but I mean, they have their hands full. But this, again, I mean, it's not like the Rangers are known for, you know, being a great defensive team. Yeah, I mean, luckily for you, you have, you know, this season the best goalie in the NHL, so he makes up for a lot of that.
How did he play last night in your mind?
Outside of that third goal. Yeah, that can't happen. I mean, he's got time to make the smart play, and he decides to throw it up. That's not the right play in that moment.
But overall, was that a bounce back game from Shesterkin in your mind?
Yeah, but I'm not of the opinion that Shesterkin's been as bad as everyone's making it out to be.
You know who's been crushing him?
Everybody?
Your guy, though.
Kay?
Yeah, crushing him.
Yeah, but I heard some of that, and I think it's a lot of that's ridiculous, though.
Yeah, but I would like to see you go after Michael.
Well, but this is not even me just having played the position. This is just me playing the game. Like, I don't even play goalie anymore. I play defense, and you've heard me say it a bunch of different times. You have to allow him to be the best player on the ice. Like, some of these goals, especially in Pittsburgh, deflections, backdoor stuff, I don't care who it's. I don't care who's in net. Hassett could be in net. They're not making those saves. Those aren't saves that you make. So, I mean, this is, you got to put him in spots where he can be the best player on the ice.
And they did that last night.
They did a much better job of doing that last night.
All right, so we'll see now. Tomorrow, game 6, 6:30, right here on 98.7 ESPN. 1-800-919-3776 as the Rangers live to see another day. Let's take a listen to the head coach, Gerard Gallant, after this game. Was this the kind of game, coach, you were looking for from your team?
They were competitive as hell tonight, and that's what we wanted from them. Be competitive, be, you know, try and win a lot of one-on-one battles, and we played hard. Down 2-0, but we still played hard the whole time, and we battled back, and, you know, once we got that first goal, it was a big boost for our club.
That made all the difference. That goal made all the difference.
The momentum completely changed after that goal.
Well, the place was dead. I mean, that's the one negative thing about playing at home in games like this. It's exactly why, and I'm sure we'll talk about this today on The Point, is like, I mean, the thought of Toronto going back to Toronto for a game 7, it's like, well, you know, you have home ice. Well, I mean, with that much pressure, I mean, is that a good thing if all of a sudden you're down 2-0?
It's a good thing until it's not a good thing.
Until it's not a good thing. So
right?
I mean, last night was a good example of that. Place is dead. I mean, you're sitting there watching at home going, okay, let's start sifting through some of the, you know, the positives of this season, because this feels like it's over. And then all of a sudden, all it takes is one good shift. Fox scores that goal, place erupts, and all of a sudden, as a player, you start feeling, okay, you know, we're only down 1 now. We can do this. And they kept it rolling. That was a fun game. I was texting Valley. I'm like, dude, I don't even, like, I have no rooting interest in this, and I'm a nervous wreck watching this thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of stress watching this thing, is what it is.
Well, you know what it is? It kept feeling like that Domingue save, and then you had power play chances, and you couldn't get that second, you know, that two-goal lead. I'm like, don't let this be one of those ones where you had a couple opportunities to really end it. You don't, and then, you know, somehow like a minute and a half left, goalie pulled, Pittsburgh scores some cheesy goal to take it into overtime.
Yeah, that would have been awful. That did not happen. What did happen was a questionable hit on Sidney Crosby. He leaves the game. Momentum shifts at that point. Here is Gerard Gallant. How much did Crosby leaving the game change things for the Rangers?
Well, obviously, he's one of the best players in the world. So, you know, they still had some good chances. They still create a lot. But, you know, he's a great player for them, and hopefully he's okay.
So, dirty hit?
I don't think it was intentionally dirty. I think the more you watch it, I mean, there are... I don't think that Trouba meant, obviously, to hit him in the head, in the face. I think when you watch the play, I've watched it a couple different times, is, you know, Trouba's got his feet, you know, he's in the tracks, man, and then Crosby kind of makes that move to the inside and to get to the net, and Trouba is just trying to get a piece of him to slow him down, and it just so happens it's his elbow to Crosby's face. And Crosby has a history of concussion issues, so, I mean, it's a scary thought for him in the series now.
So, you say not intentional, fine, but dirty?
Well, no, if I don't think it's intentional, so I don't think it's dirty. So
if it's not intentional, it can't be dirty?
No, I don't think. I mean, I think a dirty play, I mean, it's unfortunate.
So a dirty play has to be an intentionally dirty play.
Yeah, I think that's how I would define a dirty play.
Okay, all right.
It's an unfortunate play, and it's going to, who knows what's going to happen with Sid, and I'm sure that the Penguins, and you heard Mike Sullivan after the game, will send that to the league and they'll look at it. Because it is, I mean, it's Sidney Crosby, and this could change the entire series.
So if he's out game six, do you like the Rangers to win that game?
I like their chances better.
Well, no, I know that.
Well, I don't know. I can't sit here and just tell you no. I flat out like the Rangers to win game six with how poorly they've played in Pittsburgh.
But that changes Sidney Crosby's entire dynamic of the game.
Well, I understand that, and it messes with their lines and everything else. I mean, but there is something to be said about, I mean, still having Evgeny Malkin, you know, Letang, Gensel's got 7 goals in the series.
Sure.
I mean, they have other guys, but
they
not
sure
having
do.
Your,
and they're
not
a talented
your best
team
player.
And their goalies played well. But it all starts with him. Like, he is clearly their best player,
he's
right?
He's their engine. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, they go as he goes.
All right. So we will see. 1-800-919-3776. A lot to do, like you mentioned in your beautiful bouncy open. We got a little NBA. We got Sean Marks. Kyrie Irving, I got to tell you, I'm so sick and tired of this guy. We'll get to that in a few minutes as well. Yankees, ho-hum, another win over Toronto. Mets, boy, that got away quickly. I mean, the Mets is like the opposite.
League too.
What?
I mean, talk about being excited right off the bat. And then
I was thrilled.
Immediately gone.
You know what it was like? It was like the opposite of the Rangers. Like, yeah. Mets up 3-0. I'm like, all right, you know what? They're gonna win this game again. I mean, I got McGill. He's been sensational. Washington's not very good. I got a 3-0 lead, and it ended there. You scored 3 runs in the first. You didn't score again the rest of the way.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
2-0 into the second period. You can't stop these Rangers. You can't stop these Rangers.
Fox has some room. Walks in, shoots, he scores! Out in front, Lafreniere scores! Trouba, backhand shot, he scores! 3-2 Rangers! Unbelievable!
They were competitive as hell tonight, and that's what we wanted from them.
The Rangers are alive, and it feels good.
This is DiPietro and Rothenberg.
I pride myself on, like, 3 things.
It's not physique, I can tell you that.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Life is sad, believe me, missy, when you're born to be a sissy without the vim and voice.
All right, I see what we're doing here. DiPietro Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. Time for a little Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless.
I'm afraid there's no.
Let's just get to the calls, because I don't want to talk to any of you on the show. I mean, the one time Santiago's even pay attention to the show, he's going to play this. RJ, who I think is my lifeline, doesn't agree with me. And you're just a bad guy.
I'm a great guy. What I'm trying to do is get you fully involved here. I don't know why you'd be scared at this point.
Do you understand? Not about being fully involved. It's about the pain and what I would have to endure if the Mets lost to the Yankees.
Yeah, but you don't know if they're going to lose. You keep telling me that.
But
you
I know
trust
someone's
going
to lose.
Well, but that's fine. But you keep telling me that you trust them against anybody. So if you trust them against anybody, you're telling me you trust them against the Dodgers, I mean, you name the team. So why wouldn't you trust them against the Yankees?
Well, because I lose to the Dodgers, and it's just a loss that sucks, and I'm over it in a week. I lose to the Yankees, and I don't get over it ever.
But it's not going to change anything.
RJ, you want the Mets in the World Series? Would you rather have the Mets in the World Series, or would you rather have the Dodgers in the World Series?
It's different for the Yankees, though. You can't ask a Yankees fan.
I can ask him whatever I want.
No, you can't. A loss to the Mets hurts the Yankees fans more than a loss to the Yankees hurts the Mets fan.
A loss to the Yankees hurts me greatly.
No, and you just don't. But it's not going to change how Yankees fans treat you. They still treat you like the younger brother. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It makes it worse.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, you'll feel like crap, but it's going to be the same stuff you're going to have to listen to. Now, if the Mets were to beat the Yankees, now that's a whole different story.
Now, if you told me I get a 75-25% chance of winning, maybe that's different. But 50-50?
It's amazing. I'm not a baby. I can't even say the word that I wanted to say because I'd get kicked. I would get fired.
You know what? Say it.
No, I can't say it.
Say it. Go ahead. Say what you want to say. Speak your mind.
No.
This is going to be the one time that you're going to stand back and not speak what's on your mind? Go ahead. What do you got?
No, it would come previous to the word cat, but I can't say it. Because that's how you're acting right now, and I don't like it.
I don't think
the Mets in that clubhouse would like it. You call yourself a real fan?
I don't think the Mets would like it either. Not for the Mets to like.
Have some confidence in your team, all right?
I have confidence in my team.
You don't. Obviously, you don't.
Oh, I do.
You clearly don't.
Oh, I clearly do. I have nothing but confidence in the Mets. All I'm saying is I don't want the Yankees in the World Series. Give me anybody else but the Yankees. That's too much
RJ,
for me
does
to
he
handle.
Sound like he's full of confidence with this take or no?
It makes sense now because going back, I don't know, a couple of months, and I brought up the idea that I think in a CMT that you, it's tough to keep them all sorted because you trash them all now, but it was one of the ones.
Let's be fair, you suck, right? Your CMTs are bordering on horrendous.
You can say that. Oh. I would rather have my CMTs border on horrendous than my fandom called into question the way yours is right now. Because your team has the most wins in the National League, and you're afraid of the team across town. Yes,
you
are.
No, I'm not afraid. Would you choose Elio's? Would you choose CeCe's? Or would you choose Domino's? Those are the three best pizzas New York has to offer. Where would you go? That's you.
You're an excellent Dodger right now.
I'd rather be me than say I would rather go 81-81 than go to the World Series and risk losing. That's you.
100%.
And that's an awful take.
100 It may be an awful take. I would fight that to the death.
The death of average.
I would every day of the week rather go 81-81 than go to the World Series and lose to the Yankees. 100%. It's not even a question.
But why? You've already lived this. It can't be worse than any pain you've endured.
For me, can I explain? Can you guys shut up for a second?
No,
is that possible?
It makes no sense to anybody.
You know what? Let's just go.
I want you to change my mind.
No, because I can't. And then you just be mean to me, and I don't want it anymore. I was in a great mood. The Rangers had a phenomenal victory. I thought we would all get along today, but even today, a glorious Thursday morning. You doing the opening? By the way, I didn't want that first minute of the open almost put me back to sleep.
You already said it. No, change my mind.
It was grotesque.
No, change my mind because Hurley disagrees with you too, and he's a Mets fan. I change our minds.
No. Yeah, we're all thrown off by the fact that you don't think they can win. That's the thing.
No. That's the thing. There's no confidence
in
this team.
And this is why I'm not going to get into this anymore. Because when I speak, you just poo-poo what I say. You don't even listen to me. It's not that I don't think they can win. I think they can win. It's that if they were to lose, it would savagely destroy me.
Okay, but you don't have enough faith that they can win because you're so worried about what it would do to you if they did lose. If you had any sort of faith that they should win...
I have a lot of faith. I think they're an excellent team, and I think they're going to get better this season because DeGrom's going to hopefully come back, and they're going to make moves at the deadline. So it's not that I don't have faith that they can win. It's just that if they don't, I now become someone I went to a hotel for 3 days when the Giants lost a regular season game.
Okay, but you're an adult now. You're past that.
I was an adult then.
You're like children.
You're an adult.
You were like a Hank Azaria kind of adult. Like you're still young. Still a young dad.
I have faith in you. You wouldn't go missing.
No, we would find him. His wife would track his phone. What this is all showing us is that you really you want to sit here and lie to the people and tell them how much you love this team and how much confidence you have in them, but you really don't.
Fine. If that's the tack you'd like to take, then that's fine.
Well, if you were that confident in your team, this would be like a no-brainer. Of course I want to see the Yankees because we're better than the Yankees. I want that opportunity.
See, here's the thing that I would take out of this. When your teams lose, it doesn't bother you that much.
No, how about this? How about this? So I'll actually put myself in a spot here where this is worse than actually being a fan of your team because I'm going to live through it. I'm going to play in the game. I'm going to be responsible for the outcome. I actually have a say in what happens. So if you told me right now, like I'm at BU, which is, BUBC right there, and we hate each other. We despise each other. If I thought my BU team was the best team in the country, that's really how I felt. I would want to play BC in the national championship game every single day of the week. Even with the thought that if we lose, I'm going to get destroyed. I won't be able to go anywhere because every person I talk to will be like, oh, BC owns you, whatever it was. If I thought my team was that good, I would want BC because then I would have that over BC for the rest of my time.
All right, and that's great. You can have your opinion, and I'm not going to destroy it.
All right, well, because it's confidence is what it is.
Okay,
so I'm brimming with confidence.
And you know what else? You're also involved in that. You're also an ultimate decision maker in who wins that. I have very little, if any, say in who wins this thing. And I just know what happens. I know what happens.
No, but it doesn't. But I think my point and RJ's point is it doesn't change the way. If we lost to the Yankees, it's not going to change how Yankees fans treat us. They already treat us like garbage, like they're better than us. So wouldn't you want the opportunity to shut them up?
It would make it worse.
I don't think it would make it worse.
I would love the opportunity. I would love to win. I can't risk losing, thus I wouldn't want it.
Just think about you beat the Yankees in the World Series, and after you're done beating them, Aaron Judge hits free agency and leaves the Yankees. How good?
Oh, it wouldn't even matter. If the Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series, I would be giddy like you couldn't imagine.
So why not take that chance? I mean, don't you want that?
It's very, 'cause I'm not a gambler anymore.
I mean, the Giants aren't close, right?
The Giants aren't close, no.
Okay, Knicks aren't close.
Knicks are not close, no.
Okay, it doesn't feel like the Rangers are going to win a Stanley Cup this year.
Not this year, no.
Okay. So, you know, I mean, you're telling me right now, even if I told you there was a chance that you lose, you get a healthy DeGrom back, Scherzer's healthy, Bassett's healthy, you upgrade the bullpen because you know they're going to do that.
Yeah, I'd love to go to the World
Series.
Sign me up. All I'm saying is I don't want to see the Yankees in the World Series.
I want the Yankees right now. Sign me up. If you give me all the things I just mentioned, I want the Yankees. I don't want any other team but the Yankees in the World Series.
Yeah, that's forever stuff. I mean, if you had offered Tar Heel fans to them and said going into the season,
they didn't want any part of Duke.
But look at the way it turned out.
Yeah. If it turns out well, it's unbelievable.
That's what we're saying. It's out there.
You guys just don't think of the other side, and because
But if you're that, here's my point though, and I keep having to just hammer this home, is if you're that confident in your team, you don't think about the other side. I'm not thinking about losing because I feel so.
And therein lies the difference. You have to. You know what?
It's like a loser's mentality. You have a loser's mentality.
Fine. You know what? Whatever. That's fine.
No, but that's what it is. That's a loser's mentality.
That's fine. Because I, you know what? Do you have life insurance?
Of course.
Why?
Well, because I only sleep 3 hours a day, so I figured it's probably a good insurance policy for my wife.
No, yeah, exactly. It's an insurance policy. So you're thinking, one day I might not wake up the next day.
That's not even
close. It's the exact same thing, and it hits home, and it upsets you that I made such a great point. I'm done. It's fine. I want to move on to the calls. There's a million of them.
It's an awful point. That doesn't even make sense, that point.
It makes perfect sense.
That's
my insurance policy. I don't want to play the Yankees in the World Series. You're like, yeah, if you won, you'd be thrilled. Of course I'd be thrilled. And if I lose, I'll tell you what, bring it on.
But if the
Mets lose to the Yankees, I will be taking the next 2 weeks vacation.
But there's no, it couldn't be more, your analogy couldn't be more different than what we're talking about right now. I'm going to die eventually. It's not like I'm going to just always be, I'm going to die. So why not have an insurance policy for when I die? It's going to happen. It's inevitable. It's not inevitable that the Mets lose against the Yankees.
But your insurance policy goes stale after you get to 65. It goes away.
No, it doesn't. I got a full life policy, baby.
Oh, you're one of those.
Full life.
You're one of those. Lou in Brooklyn. Lou, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on? Dave, I can't defend your point, right? But I'm going to make you feel a little better, all right? They put that guy Nick on yesterday, who was like obnoxious, and I'm a Yankee fan, okay? But they put him on, and his only job yesterday was to bust your chops, and he did it. Because, listen, Yankees are losing, ninth inning, closes on the mound, and it's the literal definition of snatching victory from the jaws of defeat. So we stole a win. That's like typical sports jargon. So I hope to make you feel a little better that way, because that's definitely like stealing a win. You know, but I don't know.
It's the definition of stealing a win is what they did.
Yes, but you take today, I don't know. I hope what I said makes you feel a little better. But listen, before you hang up on me, just Rangers real quick, because I got to go to work. But I'm still upset about the lapses in the defensive stuff, but I'm happy they fought back. And even if they lose tomorrow, the future looks really bright, and, you know, they got a lot of growing to do. I totally believe in Igor still. You know, 117 saves in two games is like such a ridiculous stat. But, you know, listen, they fought back, and if they go down, they go down swinging. So at least I'm proud of that, you know. So thanks for the call. Thanks for taking the call. Have a great day, guys.
You got it, and you should be. You should be really pleased, because they were almost dead and buried yesterday, and they rose from the ashes. And that is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract and no compromise. DPHR Rothenberg is always presented by Progressive Insurance. Try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless, nationwide 5G on America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. Is it possible to rip through, to take a break and rip through the calls?
As long as you don't make any more ridiculous takes, yeah.
Because I know what it's like to be a true sports fan. And
no, you don't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, please
stop. Please. Yeah, you're scared.
Scared.
I thought you were better than this, but I was wrong.
Okay, that's right. You're right. I'm wrong, as always. 1-800-919-3776. You really are never more defined than my work wife than it is happening right now. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get to the calls into Sean Marks. You know what, RJ? We're both doing DHIF. All right. everything you guys say today, I'm going the opposite. RJ says we're doing one story in DHIF. We're doing two.
Yeah, but what happens if you screw it up? I mean, why take that chance?
Why would I screw it up?
I don't know. It could happen. Why even risk it? Why risk the you know, possible abuse from us if you mess up? Just don't even do it.
Because the
just
odds of up. That are infinitesimal.
Okay. Well, listen, if you feel good about your Mets team, that's what you would,
oh my,
you would
yeah, because that's a great analogy.
Because life insurance
oh my
is better.
God. What honestly, go get caffeine. Go get mangoes and shove them in your mouth. And do one of your reads today. Oh, that's right. You don't have any.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the DPHRO and Rothenberg podcast.
I'll give it to you whenever you want it.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Two stories in DHIF today.
Well, we'll see about that. We'll see if you well, wet
not,
yourself.
It's not we see about that. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make RJ go first. So that way I just jump in with the second. Because I know if I go first, he'll be like, and that's it, and we're done. And then he'll never do a second.
Well, this is just tons of confidence in the story that you have. And you can't wait to show it to everybody.
Listen, knowing you, I mean, because who knows what your take is on everything. You might hear it and be like, that's a terrible story. I think it's a phenomenal story.
All right. Well, I wish you had the same kind of confidence as the Mets, is all I'm saying.
All right. Can we stop?
We'll see what the callers say. I mean, I have one tweet here. I mean, it's, I feel bad.
Because they don't understand.
Because people don't feel pain like I do.
Your lack of masculinity is ruining the show. What an ice cold take. You're an embarrassment to Mets fans everywhere.
Okay.
With the puking emoji.
All right.
Strong take. I mean, you're supposed to be our fearless leader.
I am the fearless leader. No, I want to get to the calls. I knew you would do this. See, you can't stay on script. This is your problem. And I'd like to get to the calls, and I'm not going to let you stand in my way. So please turn his microphone off, and I will get to the calls. Brian in Brooklyn. Brian, good morning. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
What's going on, Dave?
What's up, Brian?
How can you call yourself a Mets fan, you know, if you say, you know, the Mets are so great? Like, every Mets fan says, oh, well, during the season, oh, they're better than the Yankees. And then now you're saying that you don't even want to see them in the World Series?
Yeah, I'd prefer to not see the Yankees in the World Series. That's right.
So let me get this straight, Brian. So Brian,
right.
So let's get this straight. So Yankees
I'm
are in
fan.
Yankees are in the ALCS, and the Mets are in the NLCS. And for some reason, let's say the Yankees sweep the series, so they're in the World Series. Now you're actively rooting against the Mets to lose in the NLCS, Dave.
Me? Again? I'm sorry.
No. Brian, goodbye. We're done with you. No, why would I root for the Mets to lose?
Well, you don't want to see the Yankees in the World Series.
No, I'd prefer not to see them, but I would want to get to the World Series. If you told me I was definitively going to lose the World Series, yes, I'd prefer to lose in the NLCS.
No one has said the entire time that you're definitively going to lose the World Series.
No, I know that. But no, of course I'd want to go. I mean, you just took something and put words in my mouth.
But that's what you're saying.
Like a game of boggle you just put in my mouth.
No, that was not.
What a terrible take.
There have been big, no, that is not what happened.
Leave it alone.
Stick to the script. Let's go. More calls.
Okay. I don't know what I'm allowed to do. Jake in Long Branch. Good morning, Jake.
What's going on, guys?
Hello, Jake.
I'm a huge Yankee fan. I've been a Yankee fan since I was 6 years old. And this discussion is exactly why I've had the upper hand in every Yankee Met argument I've ever had. Because when you grow up, you know, you said you're a Met fan since you were 4 years old. When you grow up watching the Mets and you watch them lose more than they win, you get this loser mentality. I would love to see a Yankee Met World Series just for this reason.
Right. And Jake, how would you feel if the Mets beat the Yankees in the World Series?
Yeah, it would suck for a week or two. But as a Yankee fan, I mean, you know, that's kind of the territory, right? I mean,
what does that mean? That's kind of the territory. How do you feel about 2004, Jake? Feel good?
Doesn't feel good, but you know what I do feel good about? 2009, 2000, 99, 98.
Yeah, so well, I feel, you know what, but that, I mean, again, it's someone taking things completely out of context. I feel great about 86, 69. Sure,
no, it isn't.
Those are great moments.
No, it isn't. What Jake is telling
right,
you is that he...
No,
Jake, hold on for 1 second. What Jake is telling you is that he's a Yankees fan and he thinks that he's better than you as a Mets fan. Don't you want to shut Jake up?
Thinks.
No.
I know that's what he thinks, and that's fine. You think, of course. So Bob gets to talk for 15 minutes, and then Jake's in the middle of saying something, and Santiago just hangs right up on him. Remarkable what
Santiago
I have to deal
with. Sticking to the script. He wants calls.
Eli Brooklyn. Eli, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Rick.
What's going on, Eli?
Good. Always listening. Big fan. But, Dave, I think this is the first time we don't see eye to eye on the Mets. I'm a big Mets fan, huge. And listen, I hear your point. I don't think anybody of the callers are really understanding. I'm not questioning. Obviously, you're the biggest Mets fan, but the point is that guys like that just called, the Yankees have us as their little brother. You know, we're their little brother. So what better time to do it than now to just, we're playing with house money. Listen,
no.
We have Scherzer, DeGrom.
No, I don't agree with that at all.
I don't think
you're playing with house money.
We have everything to gain. The Yankees fan has everything to lose. We have everything to gain. He's 100% right.
I don't think it's house money. If the Mets lose that series to the Yankees, I am distraught.
It doesn't matter. We've already lost one, though. The point
it
is,
it does you matter.
Listen, you can leave home for a couple days, fine. In general, what I'm saying, though, is there is much more to gain as a Mets fan than there is a Yankees fan. The Yankees already beat us. They already think that we're their little brother.
The pain of that has not subsided yet, and I don't want to revisit it.
Why? You'll get over it quick. You got the Giants right around the corner after that.
Right around the corner. The Giants will be playing right then.
Well, you're right. And then, when their season actually has some sort of meaning to it.
Maybe. I mean, they've been done by October last like 5 years.
That's not going to happen. That can't happen.
You say that. Kevin in Freehold. Kevin, good morning. You're on 98.7.
Hey, Dave and Rick. Big fan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Just have a question for Dave. I'm a Giants fan and Mets fan also. Would you rather see the Yankees beat the Mets or the Jets beat the Giants in the Super Bowl, and you had to pick one?
I would rather see the Yankees beat the Mets.
I would be insufferable. I don't know if we could do the show together ever again if the Jets beat the Giants in the Super Bowl.
Well, I don't think I have to worry about that.
I don't think it would be possible.
I don't think the Giants nor the Jets are on the verge of getting to the Super Bowl. And both the same year? Yeah, I'm not overly concerned about that.
Oh, would that be great? Oh, my God, would that be great? Sign me up for that.
Oh, if the Giants beat... See, the Jets...
I mean, I would... The party I would have in front of your house, if the Jets beat the Giants, I would shut that cul-de-sac down.
I'd kill you. I'm not even exaggerating.
I would bring a band.
I would come out with an axe and I like Lizzie Borden. I would chop you into pieces.
I would pay Lawrence Taylor whatever he wanted to put on a Jets jersey and celebrate with me. Everyone has a price. Oh,
not
would
Lawrence
it be?
Taylor.
Oh, he has a price.
That's a man of integrity.
Oh yeah,
that's Lawrence Taylor.
Absolutely,
that's Lawrence Taylor. I love how you would love it if the Jets beat the Giants. How about win a division game? You start there?
That wasn't the question, was it? That wasn't the question.
No, but start baby steps.
We like to
not
play
having the worst defense in football.
We like to play possum in the division.
Yes, you do it. Boy, this is a great job. They are. What a game of possum this is.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast.
And welcome aboard.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you hear, I'm sure you did, Kyrie Irving on Twitch the other night?
I did, yeah.
I mean, let's take a listen to this. Rick, what is he doing?
What are you doing? Oh my god. Go back to Cleveland. Oh my god. Boston hates you. Oh my god.
That's how y'all sound to me, cockroaches. That's how y'all sound to me.
Kyrie, please read my comment.
He is so unlikable and such a jerk sometimes. It is remarkable.
Maybe he likes it. Maybe he likes playing the game.
Obviously he does.
Well, the media are pawns. We're all pawns. And then the fans are... cockroaches.
He looks down on everybody.
Everybody.
Is there anybody that he respects? Because he doesn't respect Durant. He walks all over that relationship.
He doesn't respect the Nets.
He doesn't respect his coach. He doesn't respect the GM. He doesn't respect Durant. He doesn't respect the fans. He doesn't respect the media. Does he respect anybody?
He better respect the owner if he's looking to sign this extension. I can tell you that.
I don't think
because I mean you'll play some of the Sean Marks stuff. I mean that sounded like it was pointed squarely at one person when he said it.
I would have to think so. Let's hear a longer version from Twitch of Kyrie berating people, and then we'll get into Sean Marks. So first, more Kyrie being Kyrie.
I'm like one of the people that ignorantly live out life, that pretend like nothing's going on. Nah, bro, it don't work that way. Don't work that way, bro. Oh my god, Kyrie gotta be, oh, he has to be on something. You know how many comments I see like that, bro? Oh my god, man, he's definitely on one, man. I don't know what's up with him, bro. He's on drugs, man. Shut the f*** up. Shut the f*** up. Shut up, bro. I hear it so often, and that has even a racist undertone to it. He has to be on drugs. This woke black guy has to be on drugs. Shut the f*** up. What are you talking about, bro? Haven't smoked not one thing. Haven't taken not one drug. You over here, oh my, oh yeah. This guy's gotta be on something, bro. That's the prototypical response that you hear from somebody that's living a life in a shell that don't know what's going on. Especially when you start talking about what's going on with racial prejudice and discrimination, bro.
I don't even know what to say to him at this point, or how to respond to someone that just unbelievable stuff that he says. Everyone was affected what happened. Everyone was affected with George Floyd. It doesn't mean that we didn't come to work. Does it? Did everyone else on the Nets come to work, or did anyone else go missing after that?
No, I think all the Nets were at work.
Were you at work?
I was at work.
Did it upset you what was going on in this country?
Absolutely.
Okay. It upset me. I remember Canty was horrified by it, and we showed up to work every day. But he's the one guy that has an exclusion. When something happens that I don't like, I don't have to show up, and then I'm going to mock you and critique you and make fun of you?
Well, I don't understand why he gets himself so involved with reading the comments in his social media and everything else. Like, I just don't know why he wastes his time with that.
The weird thing is he's obsessed with it, yet he doesn't think any of these people are even near his equal. So just leave it alone.
No, but I don't understand why it's us living in a shell, because, you know, we choose to actually, like, you know, go do our job because we're getting paid to do our job. Like, it's not like there are plenty of things that affect me on a daily basis that I don't tell you guys about that, you know, I'm dealing with, but I still have to show up to work.
Well, that's what professionals do.
I can't just go missing for 2 weeks and not, you know, not let you or RJ or, you know, or Ryan or like the bosses know, like, hey, I'm dealing with something. I'm going to have to miss some time. I can't just go rogue for 2 weeks and take off.
Because you're a professional. Because you have respect for your coworkers.
Yeah, but that shouldn't mean to Kyrie that I'm not aware of what's going on around me or concerned about what's going on around me.
Apparently it is. Apparently that's how he takes it.
But I just don't, like, when you're in a position like Kyrie's in, and I think he's a really smart guy, like, why would you, like, what are you expecting to get in your comments? Like, all love and support? That's not what happens in the comments.
Well, not only that, but you're making decisions which are strange. I mean, let me ask you this. What happens if tomorrow morning you just don't show up to work? You don't tell RJ. You don't tell Ray. You don't tell Ryan Hurley. You don't tell John Winthrop. You don't show up. And now you're seen gallivanting around Long Island at a friend's birthday party. What do you think happens to you?
I'm going to be in big trouble. I would probably get suspended, I would imagine.
At a minimum, I think you'd get suspended, right?
Or you'd get blamed. You'd probably get blamed. You would get blamed.
Dave, we'd like to talk to you. We'd like to bring you in. Why would you allow Rick to be gallivanting around Long Island without doing the show? I mean, this guy thinks the rules don't apply to him, that he can just do whatever he wants.
Well, he's above it because he's so enlightened that, you know, things affect him differently because he's not just solely focused on basketball.
Oh, we know that. So if you love basketball and wins and losses pain you, he's better than you. If you are focused on basketball as your primary focus or goal, he's different and better than that. If you care about any of the things that you care about, but you're still willing to move on and push through with your life, he's better than you. Like, he looks at himself, at least this is the way it appears to me, and I don't think I'm wrong, and you can correct me if you think I am. It appears to me like he looks at life and says, I'm better and more important than everybody else out there.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, more important than everyone else. I just think he feels like the things happening in the, you know, in the world affect him more than everyone else. Because
why?
He's not... Because he's not solely focused. He's not just a basketball player, which is, in my opinion, taking shots at you know, the you know, I would look at LeBron James as being one of the guys. Like, the amount of stuff LeBron James does off the court, how things affect him. I mean, he's outspoken, but it doesn't affect his ability to show up and do his job and do what he's supposed to do.
You can do more than one thing. You can be a leader of social justice and still show up to work during the day.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's usually the expectation, right?
Of course it is.
We're paying you to do a job, and you know, that's what we expect from you.
Because
everyone, but that's just all. I mean, that pisses me off though too. Because I mean, there's plenty of people. I mean, look at all the, you know, all the people on the front lines during when this pandemic started. Yeah, I mean, how many of those people you think wanted to call in and say, hey, listen, I can't risk this.
A lot of them.
Well, what happened to those people? What happened to all the people that said, you know what, it's my choice. I don't want to get the vaccination. They got fired. They don't have their jobs anymore. I want to be a voice for the voices. Oh, did you really? Because I didn't hear your voice. And then all of a sudden, when they had a special exemption so you could play, you couldn't wait to take it.
You rushed back. You sure did. Here is Sean Marks, the GM of the Brooklyn Nets. Are you committed to Kyrie long term?
Look, I think that's something we've been discussing and we will continue to debrief on and discuss throughout this offseason. And it's honestly not just Kyrie. I mean, you bring Kyrie up, but we have decisions to make on a variety of different free agents throughout our roster. We haven't had any of those discussions yet, so it'd be unfair for me to comment on, you know, how it looks with us and Kyrie, because to be quite frank, he has some decisions to make on his own. So he has to look at what he's going to do with his player option and so forth like that. But I think we know what we're looking for. You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, play team basketball, and be available. And that goes not only for Kyrie, but for everybody here.
That was But that's impossible, though. Like, Kyrie's not capable of doing that, because for him, basketball is not the most important thing.
And he's told you that.
Well, so how can you expect him to fully commit and make basketball the most important thing and this team the most important thing if he doesn't live in a shell? There's other things going outside, you know, on outside in the world that are bigger than just.
And does he opt out, which I think he probably will? You sign him to a max deal, and now you think you're going to get the best version of Kyrie Irving?
And let's not sit here and pretend like, well, there's all, you know, there's a bunch of different free agents. No, stop it. The one with the most important free agent, because of how close he is to Kevin Durant, is Kyrie Irving. That's it.
But boy, you've really backed yourself into a corner here if you're Brooklyn, huh? You really have.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you get out of this. Like, I mean, if the goal is to get off of Kyrie Irving, I don't know if it's possible.
You're going to infuriate Kevin Durant if you do that, though.
Well, I mean, I would imagine you'd have to run that by Kevin Durant before you do it.
And if he says no, now you're obligated. There's nothing you can do.
Well, what are you going to do? Trade? He goes, if you don't bring Kyrie back, I want out.
I don't know. Let's continue this in the 7 o'clock hour, because we need to have plenty of bouncy time for Knobservations and DHIF.
If you say something like this.
That's a clown question, bro.
Or like this.
My best advice to you?
Yeah.
Shut up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Those are the ramblings of what we refer to as a knob.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
And these are Knobservations.
And they are brought to you by Jack Pocket. Dave, I will leave you, so long as you agree to do the second story, a solid, what do you think, 90 seconds to 2 minutes at the end.
That would be lovely. Thank you.
That's way too much time for Dave. Dave's cleaned up in 90 seconds.
Oh, no. All right.
Good. That's great, because you know what? Now I'll get a phone call. How could you allow him to say something like that?
I'm going to go missing tomorrow and see what happens.
Good. Go missing. I hope you get taken.
Oh, my God. Something ever happened to him, you would really feel guilty.
No, I wouldn't.
So yesterday was, I hope you stub your toe on the counter of all things, because apparently I'm jumping counter to counter in the kitchen. Then I want you to have a nail in your foot.
Yeah,
a nail in your foot.
Yeah, this happened earlier.
Go away.
You shut your face for a second. You can't sit here.
Step on a nail.
That would be pain. Not attack.
A nail.
He's really got it in for your foot, apparently.
Because he's got a fetish. He's a bad guy.
Yeah, I'm the Rex Ryan of talk show hosts. All right, can we continue, please?
We can. Here we go. So the Rangers keep their season alive. We heard the Rangers side of things on the Sidney Crosby hit earlier. Mike Sullivan, head coach of the Penguins, weighed in.
Mike, did you feel there was intent on the part of Trouba on that hit?
Did you see the hit?
I did.
You probably have the same opinion I do.
And, Rick, I would guess that shared opinion is probably not fully above board, and that could be a concussion we're dealing with. Don't want to speculate too much.
It felt like it. I mean, especially the way he went to the bench, kind of grabbed at his nose. He's got a history of concussions. Yeah, that's scary. I mean, there was a time that there was talk about him having to retire because of the concussions.
But you said early in the show you didn't think it was a dirty hit.
Well, I don't think there was intent. Like, that wasn't like, I'm going to go out of my way to make sure I take a shot at Sidney Crosby's head because I'm trying to knock him out of this series. It was Sidney Crosby. I mean,
Sidney Crosby has me beat. It's panic, and y'all do everything I can to stop him.
Exactly right.
So I guess, where does that fall with the league office? If the intent is not there, the result is it's Crosby and it's the playoffs. Where does that,
I guess, well, I think that ended.
Yeah, I think that puts Jacob Trouba in a tough spot. I was telling you guys before the show, you know, in the Edmonton series, Nurse just got suspended for headbutting. And when you watch it, I mean, he was trying to make contact. I don't think he was intending. It wasn't like just a flat-out headbutt. But, I mean, because that happened, they suspended him for a game, which is a huge loss for Edmonton.
Yeah, we'll see. So, over the weekend, did you catch any, maybe not the race, but you're aware that there was a big F1 race in Miami over the weekend?
Did you guys see how expensive the food and the merch being sold there was?
No.
I think the cheapest hat was like $140.
So is that a sport of the wealthy, F1?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like polo.
I think a hamburger was like $850.
Stop it.
I'm not even joking. They did a whole thing on SportsCenter about it.
It's like a hamburger?
It's like a cooler version of polo. So
I could see Dave playing polo.
There were a lot of people there too. A lot of celebrities there. So we've all been kind of in a situation, Matt, or maybe it's for the average person, maybe a bar, restaurant, I don't know. You think you see somebody you know. So much that you go up and you maybe don't strike up a conversation, but you come close. So I mentioned a lot of celebrities there to bring awareness to the F1 race. And Sky Sports has a reporter there. Now, this guy, he thinks he's found Patrick Mahomes, and that's big. He's going to walk up to him, approach him, and he's going to get an interview with Patrick Mahomes for Sky Sports, and this is what happened.
This is crazy. I've never been to an F1 race. This is spectacular.
It's amazing to be allowed right in the middle of the competitors just before the race starts.
Yeah, now you can see they locked in. It reminds me of myself, the real focus.
Okay, it's not Patrick. That's why he ignored me in the beginning. But what is your name, sir?
Paolo Banchero.
Right, okay. Well, I thought I was talking to somebody else, so I'm sorry about that. Whatever. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
That's tough.
He punts at the end, too. Whatever.
No idea who you are.
You are the tallest quarterback I've ever seen in my life.
That's very funny.
It went sideways really, really quickly.
Real fast.
Something else that went sideways, and this is troubling on a lot of fronts. So, for those that aren't aware, Keyshawn Johnson and Jay Williams of KJM, which follows us.
I don't even want to hear the story.
And Alan Hahn and Bart Scott of Bart and Hahn, which starts at noon every day on this fine program, on this fine station. There's a 2-on-2 basketball match set to take place in a couple of weeks. So you two volunteered on the crosstalk, which we do at the end of the show with the KJM guys, to call the game. For all to hear. We're all aware. We got it out there. But I have to tell you, I believe this is the first you will hear of this, that I regret to inform you, you will not be calling the game. Who will you ask? Well, for that, we turn to Chris Carlin and Chris Canty from yesterday. Here is Carlin.
Which, by the way, Chris and I will be calling the play-by-play for on June 1st. We got roped into that.
Roped into that.
So, volunteer our services.
I knew that was coming.
And they get roped into that.
Okay. It's like the kind of rope that they tie up cruise ships with.
Oh, the deception. The betrayal, man. You deceived me.
Oh, okay. Those are big ropes.
That's a huge rope.
I always wonder how they get that rope out there. It's so long.
I always wonder who puts the socks on for him.
Oh, my
God. So I'm sorry.
Rick, why are you taking shots at him?
Oh, because they know we wanted to do this. We were offered the position. Now, all of a sudden, this has changed now.
Tell you what, whenever they ask for something in the future, they can just ask Carlin and Canty.
Yeah. I'm sorry to be
I'm not doing anything.
The bearer
ever again.
Of bad news. All righty, we're going to keep this moving. Raymond?
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a Naples home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, before getting to my story, which will lead to Dave's, I'll read the sponsor now. DHIF brought to you by the Jackpocket app. Play official state lottery games on your phone. Download the app. Get your first Mega Million or Powerball ticket free. Using code ESPN. Must be 18 or older to play. If you're someone who has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or visit jackpocket.com/TOS for terms of service. So picture this. You are driving down the highway. You get passed by a car to the left of you. Not crazy. Car's going rather quickly. Let's call it 100 miles an hour. And what's particular about this car is there's a man standing through the sunroof. That man is also driving the car.
What?
So the man has it on cruise control, is somehow navigating the car with his feet, yet he's standing through the sunroof. As you would imagine, nobody was hurt. And the police officers pull him over. They ask him, you know, what's going on here, sir? He said, I'd rather go to jail than go home to my wife.
Oh, no.
And he got his wish. He went to jail on misdemeanor charges for reckless driving.
I think it has to be.
I don't think there's ever been a more Florida story that you told.
Yeah, I think it has to be.
And Raymond?
Sure, Florida.
A clean sweep. Florida is corrected. an obvious one, but I had to do it anyway. So, Dave, with about 90 seconds, I hand it over to you.
Oh, well, the good news is I don't have a lot to beat there. That wasn't a great story. Here's my my story. Laura Young. You say, oh, Laura Young. Yes, she's an antiques dealer. So she went to a garage sale, and Laura Young found what looked like maybe an ancient kind of a Roman bust. And she thought to herself, boy, this is nice. How much would I spend on something like that? So at the garage sale, she offered $35. And they haggled and they negotiated. And for just under $35, Laura Young wound up with this Roman bust. Turns out that Roman bust was actually from over 2,000 years ago and completely priceless. They couldn't even value how much this thing, in fact, was worth. Millions and millions of dollars purchased for less than 35 bucks. Did that happen in Florida?
I'm going to say no, and I would also like the record to state that RJ's story was much better than this one.
You know what? Forget it.
Yeah, there's a man flying down a highway halfway out of a car.
Driving with his feet.
You guys. You know what it is?
We're haggling at a
guy driving at a yard sale. Through a sunroof or a yard sale. Yeah. What's more exciting?
It's above you is what it is. Really? Because now we're talking about ancient artifacts, and that's something that you can't understand.
All
because
right,
you know why, Rick? You're simple.
Okay, Kyrie.
Once again, he proves himself to be like Kyrie.
You're simple. This was from Pompeii.
This was buried in volcanic ash.
So now you guys are cheating and looking up the story. So you know what?
No, I already said not Florida.
Yeah, you didn't even let us answer.
If it was Florida, it would be the segment.
You know what? You've completely ruined the segment. Now you're late. I don't care. It wasn't Florida. I don't need guesses. Fine. San Antonio, Texas. Good. I'm glad. You know what? Take your little segment and shove it right up your nose. You know where? Right up there.
You soiled yourself.
Right up there.
That was an embarrassment is what that was.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.